This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Well, Arvin, it's almost time for us to wrap up for the day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
However, we do have one last story to deliver. It's all about working from home and our dependence on technology. Speaking about technology, for those of you that have not voted in our poll so far today, please do so if you have a few minutes left of your time over on Twitter, which is at BFM Radio. For this question, which of these work setups would you prefer? Post-COVID, let us know. Is it work from home? Is it a shorter work week? Is it back to normal? Where are we at so far in the polls?
Yeah, so it's at 46.7% for shorter work week, 25.3% for work from home, and 26.8% back to normal. We have a message from Ramli who says, it's never been about time and days, not for companies which prioritize quality over quantity. You can spend a week in the office and not deliver. Focus on the price, quality work which makes a difference.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ramli. Average vote over on Instagram is that more people would prefer to work a shorter work week.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
I think I understand because people don't want to be cooped up for too long and they also want to come to work a bit.
They want to spend time with their family.
Mm-hmm. We have a message from Brian who says, working from home, not necessarily good. We may end up working long hours, which is something I can agree with.
Yes.
I find myself working at like 8:30, 9 o'clock in the night when I'm working from home.
Yep. 8:30, I find myself at 2 and 3 o'clock Saturday going, what am I doing?
Yep.
You know, and my girlfriend is like, what are you still doing? I'm like, I'm working. And it's because you get in that tunnel vision almost, you know, because you don't see the frames. I don't see Arvin walking around and I don't see Audrey walking around to tell me, hey, what are you still doing here?
Mm-hmm.
You know? There you go.
Perpetually work.
Yeah. Right. Final story. Do tell me about our dependence on technology when we are working from home.
Yeah, so this, I mean, since we've been talking about, you know, like new working conditions throughout the show, I thought I'd cover these snippets from an interview with Mary L. Gray. She's an anthropologist and recent recipient of the 2020 MacArthur Genius Grant. She discusses how digital culture can improve our professional as well as personal lives. But what is interesting is that we always talk about dependence on social media like it's a bad thing in a negative sort of connotation, right? But her point of view is slightly different because when asked about her thoughts on how technology is keeping us connected to work more than we probably want or needed to, she said, remote work is not new to anyone who does contingent work, so gig workers, contract workers who have no healthcare benefits and can be fired at any time, work as much as they need to make ends meet, and they have always done that work around family demands. What is new is the experience of the salaried worker now working from home, who is figuring out how to juggle elder care, childcare, household chores, and everything else. And that's the thing about this pandemic, she says, it drove so many of us to the realities that gig economy workers live with every day.
So that's a very good point.
Yeah, it is. Because that's like their norm, right? It's always been their norm.
Yeah.
She was also asked about how we can make technology matter but not overshadow our life. And she said, by understanding that technology is not the thing that matters, what matters is how we apply technology to problems where we see inequity. Take broadband, for example. It's expensive to access data plans in rural parts of the US. We spoke about this yesterday with Netflix and why people get DVDs and stuff.
Yeah.
Rural broadband won't fix rural poverty, but it's a lever. The internet is not a nice to have anymore. It's essential to economic productivity. But this one is the most subversive opinion that Mary has. She was asked if she's worried that we are all spending too much time online these days. And she says no. She says, like, you know, we're just not, which is not something that you hear every day from, especially from people like her. The internet provides a place to connect, explore, and be seen. We all crave social connection, especially right now, and that gives us a platform to do so, stay connected with people that we love and people that we know. We have a popular narrative that says video games are bad and parents are bad if they let kids sit in front of screens all day. She says that the more pressing question is, what are we trying to achieve when we are on our screens? The most valuable skill is teaching kids how to evaluate and critically analyze what is in front of them. They need to learn how to make sense of the world, to think through a problem and how to identify sources. So she says that through screens, young people are learning how to collaborate and even how to work with the group they've never met before.
Mm.
So it's not always obvious to parents, but kids are developing skills to learn how to learn, which is a good thing. And that's like really interesting, especially when I read that, because you never hear anyone say those kinds of things. So not many people say those kinds of things. Finally, Mary says that the form of technology that is most indispensable to her is all of it. She's quite conscious of the connections I have with, she has with people. That's the most important structure we can put in our lives. And she says if you pushed her to pick only one form of technology, she would pick the phone to stay in touch with family and friends.
It's interesting. What I like about that is we've discussed ad nauseum about the idea of the third space, you know, people going into this third space to find somewhere to kind of relax and whatever. First, it was video games that was something we discussed. But somebody spoke to me about this the other day about the internet and being online and how they equate it now to the modern day mall. Being online and just using the internet is like a mall nowadays. You know, it's in some places it's fairly bland and it all looks the same. And back a few years ago, the internet was this weird and wonderful and a slightly dangerous little edgy place.
Yeah.
And the more people come online, the more kind of refined it gets and the sleeker it becomes and whatever. And I think that's a fairly good analogy to describe what it is right now. And so with that regard, being online is fairly safe, you know, for most people.
Yeah.
And it is that space where they found that third place, whether or not it's via social media or whatever. It's their mall nowadays, you know? And I don't see... Thankfully, we're not seeing people hanging around outside 7-Eleven or 99 Speed Mart like you might have done back in the day because they are spending more time online.
Yeah. I also like that comparison because it's like, as long as you know your boundaries, I guess,
right,
you're still
yeah.
safe.
Yeah.
You know, talking about malls, as long as you know which one you're going to in a way and the kinds of places and what you're getting and what you're buying and stuff. Yeah, so I like that the way they compare that. It's, you know, it's just choosing your spots. And I guess for parents also, what she says, what Mary says is that it's just knowing what they're doing online. So it's not that they should back off.
Yeah.
It's that they should try to understand where the kids who are like digital natives are coming from, you know, and why they want to use technology. It's not so much like it is dangerous, but it also gives them a place to connect, like it's doing for all of us now, I guess.
Yeah. I think you're right, though. It's the first time I've heard, you know, some expert come out and say, no, we're not spending too much time online.
Yeah, yeah,
recently,
yeah.
at least, anyway.
Yeah.
Right, we have to wrap up. We are, in fact, running out of time here very quickly. We'll run through what we covered on the show today. And if you missed any part of this show, don't forget you can download the podcast. It's up very shortly, wherever you'd normally get your podcast from. We started off with that question based on the article of we'll never work the same way again because COVID-19 has forced changes in the way that we work, which, of course, will persist for a long time. We had a poll. The poll was, how would you prefer to work post-COVID, whether it was working from home, shorter work week, or back to normal? The numbers are in, final numbers, 46.7% of you would like a shorter work week. That's essentially what it is. We then moved on to a story about, it was all about why we need to ditch the 8-hour work day.
And then we finished with working from home and our dependence on technology and just like different opinions on what staying connected is.
Yeah. So that's what today's show was about. But coming up after the 1 o'clock news is the Breakfast Grill replay with David Dollar, the co-author of China 2049, Economic Challenges of a Rising Global Power. Whether it's COVID-19, trade, technology or politics, few realms of the modern world are spared from the influence of the US-China tensions. How have recent events affected China's trajectory towards its goal of becoming a developed nation by 2049? How will the spat between these two global powers continue to play out? And how will the upcoming US elections change things, if at all? David Dollar, a longtime observer of China, spoke with the Breakfast Grill this morning about this and more. On behalf of myself and Arvind Yuvaraj, we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place, for Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.